Welcome to the Open Adoption Project. This is episode 113. I'm Sean, and in this episode, Lynette has an interview with Devaney. And Devaney is an adoptee who shared her story with us back in episode 72. And together, they will have a discussion, a book club discussion, about the book Far From the Tree by Robin Benway. And if you haven't read the book, this is probably a good time for you to pause and go read it. Or if you don't care about spoilers, keep listening. But Far From the Tree, like I mentioned, from Robin Benway, is a young adult novel that explores the theme of family, identity, adoption, and belonging. This particular story centers on three teenagers that are siblings who were separated at birth and that were adopted by different families. And although they've grown up in different environments, they only learn about each other's existence in their teenage years. And their shared background and their connection to one another gradually draws them together. It's a good read, and I loved listening to this conversation with Lynette and Devaney. I love amplifying adoptee voices, and hearing from her perspective was really great. So we hope that you enjoy this conversation with Lynette and Devaney, again, about the book Far From the Tree. And we'll cut to that conversation right now.
We are here on the podcast with Devaney. Devaney, welcome back. We're so happy to have you here again.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. And I love books, so I'm so excited.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really excited to be talking about a few different books for National Adoption Month. Mm-hmm. Just having some little book club sessions. And so today we're going to be talking about a book called Far From the Tree. Mm-hmm. And Devaney recommended this book. You had heard about it?
Yeah. Yeah. I had just been looking at books about adoption, and this one, I had two friends that had previously read it, and they had their like ratings and their own personal reviews of it on Goodreads. And I trust those friends' opinions. And I was like, ooh, if they like it, I'm sure it's good. And being about adoption, I thought it was really interesting. It just, you know, looked interesting.
Yeah, well, I loved reading this book. Yeah. I really did.
Me too.
So I'm excited to talk about it today. So to start off, how would you summarize this book to someone who doesn't care about spoilers, but just wants to hear a couple sentences about it?
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think this book gives you a really wide view of different adoption experiences, and it gives you lots of different voices about every part of the adoption story. People from every part of the adoption story, where it's like the adoptee, the parents, the birth parents, if there's social workers involved, just so many different angles and views that I feel like some books, they just kind of hyper-focus on one person's experience, where I loved this one because it gives you so many different angles and views.
I loved that too. And so there's three perspectives in the book, mm-hmm. and these three perspectives, they're all siblings, but they have such different experiences, yeah. which I thought was really well done. Mm-hmm. So the author of this book was not adopted, right? You said that you learned a bit about this.
Yeah, I looked into her, and yeah, she just, I guess she came up with the idea in a parking lot. Did you hear about that?
No.
So she was, I guess her publisher was like, hey, can you give me some idea of what you're gonna be writing next? And she's like, I'm so sorry, I'm just really kind of blank right now. And but then she was grocery shopping, and then she was in the parking lot, and I think maybe getting out of like, pulling out of her parking spot, and a song from Florence and the Machine came on. And she says the lyrics hit her so hard. And it's from that song, I wrote down Cosmic Love by Florence and the Machine. And the first line is, a falling star fell from your heart and landed in my eyes. I don't know how that would make you think of adoption, but I was like, I think she was probably supposed to write this book because, but now like when I read that, I'm like, oh yeah, like that could totally be like a birth mom's experience, or like an adoptive parent's experience, like a falling star fell from your heart and landed in my eyes. I just feel like, so she said like the story came to her right there in the car from those lyrics. And she said she'd heard the lyrics like tons of times before because she loves that song and loves that artist. But I just thought it was so interesting that it just, the story came flooding to her and she felt like she couldn't write it fast enough.
That's amazing. That's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And she wasn't connected to the adoption community, but you can tell she put research into writing this.
Totally. Yes. Yeah. I heard that she just had like so many books about adoption on her kitchen table that whenever her friends came over, I guess a neighbor came over, they're like, oh, congratulations. Are you adopting? And she's like, no, I'm writing a book. And I just
sounds funny.
Love that. She had so many. Yeah. Books out and was doing so much research, but yeah, she said that like no story that she read was the same. And that's what fascinated her about writing about this.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, and the book starts off really strong. I got hooked pretty fast.
Me too.
It starts off introducing a character named Grace.
Mm-hmm.
And within, we've already told on the podcast, we're going to have spoilers, of course, in this episode. So I recommend reading the book before you listen.
Yes.
But it jumps in and talks about Grace, and we find out that she was adopted,
mm-hmm.
and she becomes a birth mom, a teen mother, and that places her baby for adoption in the first chapter of the book, which it's a big
right away. And I think it starts with, I mean, I read the summary on the back knowing that there was going to be like a few different adoption stories in it, and the first thing that you kind of find out is that she's pregnant and she's a teenager, and I was like, okay. And then it closes with the chapter being like, and I want to find a birth mom. I'm like, oh, so you're also like adopted. And I didn't realize she was going to be a character. So I was like, ooh, that's like multi-layered.
It was a big surprise. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know how much of my experience you want me to go into, I'm adopted, open adoption since I was a baby. And I have all my sisters are adopted and we all have different adoption stories, different layers and levels of openness and closeness. And so I do have a sister that she was adopted and like, you know, into our family. And she also had a pregnancy as a teenager, and she also placed her baby. So I thought that was really interesting for me to be able to like kind of step into those
shoes. So personal, yeah.
Yeah, because I was a child when it happened, and my sister was a teenager, her late teens. And so it was really neat to be able to kind of step into, you know, maybe not her exact experience, but just like, okay, like put myself in that place. And I thought that was really powerful the way that the author did that. You really felt like so much compassion and love, and like you can kind of feel what Grace was going through. She did a great job writing that chapter.
Yeah. So did you feel, based on your sister's experience and seeing that, like the complexities of Grace's situation felt realistic?
Yeah, I feel like it was very realistic. It must bring up so many feelings of like, you know, you grow up, you might, I'm not saying my sister, but you might grow up as an adoptee. I never felt this way, but you might grow up being like, why would someone do this to me? Like, why was I given up? Why was I given away? Why was I discarded? You know, like they might have like, quote, discarded, right? Like people have some really heavy feelings about that. I had a different experience, but I do know adoptees who feel that way. And so it was really neat to see Grace. You know that she loves this baby. You know that she is like having such a hard time doing this placement, but she feels like it's the best thing for her baby. So it's kind of neat. I feel like the author did do a great job of showing that.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. And so then after we meet Grace, we meet her two siblings who were also adopted by different families.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So the parenting between Grace and her sister Maya and her brother Joaquin and their adoptive families was really different.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So honestly, it's like so good. First of all, I think I told you this like in a text that like the sister Maya drives me absolutely bonkers. But by the end of the book, she really does. She's endearing.
Yes.
And you see that some of her behaviors are because of the way that she has like internalized her adoption story, and not just her adoption story, but like just how she always felt kind of like the outlier because she's a brunette. Maya is a brunette and she's raised by these two parents that are redheads. They're adopted by her parents that are redheads. And then she has a redhead sister that was born shortly after she was place into her home. And Maya just drove me absolutely nuts. just because I feel like she always had a chip on her shoulder. And I mean, like I said, I'm coming from my experience of feeling so blessed from my adoption and my open adoption. I love my birth mom. That like, I'm like, gosh, yeah, you have it so hard, Maya, don't you? You have parents who love you. This is so hard. I thought it was interesting that like she felt like an outsider because of her lack of red hair. But then you have Joaquin that is like, he goes through this experience of being like a Mexican American, like or a Latino American kid. And the way he was treated for his like obvious difference mm-hmm. from a lot of, you know, his like foster families. Whereas Maya just had this big chip on her shoulder because she didn't have red hair. I'm like, Maya, I'm pretty sure Joaquin had it harder than you. Cause like, you know what I mean? Like people just assumed that he spoke Spanish. People just assumed that he could talk about like Hispanic traditions. And anyway, yeah. I just thought it was funny, but then it just makes you appreciate people process their experiences differently. But sorry, you wanted to talk about the parenting experience.
But no, that's a good tangent. Yeah.
Yeah, so Maya's parents, they're going through some really hard stuff personally.
Yeah.
And it's okay to talk about spoilers,
yeah.
you think? Okay. Just read the book, guys. Pause it and read the book and then come back if you don't. Anyway, so Maya's parents have had like a really rocky relationship for quite a long time, it seems like,
yeah.
right? Like years?
It seems like, yeah, their relationship between the two of them
yeah.
is not
yeah.
healthy.
Maya's parents, yeah. Like they couldn't conceive a child, and so they adopted, and then they ended up pregnant, which I know is common. And so Maya kind of always felt like, well, you know, they only adopted me because they couldn't have one. And then anyway, so, but her parents have a really rocky relationship, and you discover that her mom is suffering from alcoholism, and it's drawn this huge wedge between the parents, where I feel like the dad isolates a lot,
yeah.
right? I mean, what else did you see
yeah,
from the dad?
It's a dark family situation,
yeah.
but I felt like there were also good sides, right? I
yeah.
really liked how realistic all these families felt
yeah.
because they're not perfect, but right. they also have strengths.
Yeah.
Like it felt like Maya's parents were a lot more accepting. They were open to having conversations.
Yes.
And it was comfortable, right? Like Maya came out to her parents and
yeah.
her dad put a sticker on his car and like,
right.
you know, like they were supportive
yeah.
of her.
And I think that's a great way to explain how the author really did like weave that beautifully. Like, yes, her parents really struggled and their toxic relationship with each other affected the kids, but
yes.
they showed up for their kids, Maya and their daughter, their other daughter, Lauren, in so many ways. Like you were saying, like
yeah.
Maya is gay and she has a girlfriend, but her parents, wholeheartedly accept her. So you see like those characters, they have this flaw of having this toxic relationship with themselves, but they try really hard to be there for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a really neat way because, you know, it's not just black and white with, oh, these parents are, you know, bad guys or,
yeah.
you know, like they're
yeah.
just like, oh,
they're
poor Maya.
Flawed,
yeah.
Very realistic. Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting too, because, after Grace placed her baby with this really lovely couple that she really was so intentional about, just really wanting to find a fantastic, loving couple for who she called her. She calls her baby Peach.
Yes, I loved that.
That was
really
sweet. She calls her baby Peach because when she finds out she's pregnant, it was the size of a peach, apparently.
Yeah.
And she just kind of clung on to that. But it's interesting because you get to see how Grace is so intentional about selecting a family for Peach. And then Maya, you see, you just know that everyone wants their baby to have the best family placement. And then you see this family, as Maya and Lauren are like teens, this family's falling apart. And, you know, a birth mom could look at that and be like, I made the wrong choice. But at the same time, there's so many good things that Maya has in her life. And I mean, I think I remember in the book that like Maya was very, like their family was very affluent too. Like
yeah.
she had a lot of like, just wonderful opportunities and like a beautiful house and, you know, so I just thought it was an interesting contrast. I like that the author made it well-rounded in like
yeah.
just the humanness of every character. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I agree. Well, in the beginning it felt like Grace's parents were like these kind of perfect parents, right?
Yeah.
They were really loving and supportive,
mm-hmm.
but they also had a hard time. Grace said that she felt like she couldn't ask her mom questions.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there was this barrier between communication there. And
mm-hmm.
so of course they all had struggles.
Yeah.
And then Joaquin's foster parents, Mark and Linda, were so sweet and lovely.
Yeah.
But they recognized, I loved that they recognized it and talked about, like, we can't give you everything and we want to help you get everything you need, right?
Yeah.
Like we can't teach you how to make tamales.
Yeah.
One of the things, right?
Yeah, that's one of the things we talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Speaking of parents, like, okay, so when Grace finds out that she is going to have a baby and she's pregnant, her boyfriend at the time, Max, is just kind of like this, like, uber privileged, like, rich kid, and his
yeah.
parents are so upset that Grace is pregnant.
Terrible.
His dad was awful, and Max's mom was just kind of like a little, like, withering willow, like, wouldn't speak up and like say, hey, ease up, like to Max's dad. Max's dad was cruel, and he just branded Grace as being like a bad girl, and how Max is dating a good girl now. And that was infuriating to hear all this blame being placed on Grace for this, you know, tricky situation with, okay, what do we do with this baby? Because I feel like if Max's parents had been more supportive and kind and understanding, you know, maybe Grace would have made a different choice.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I feel like Grace did a wonderful thing. Like, as an adoptee myself, I'm so grateful that I have my family. But yeah, it almost kind of like makes you feel like maybe Grace would have kept her baby if it wasn't for Max's dad's reaction, and just, so yeah, the way that these parents are represented, like it gives you like a really good view of like, maybe these kids are, you know, of course the kids are influenced by the parents' parenting style and their reactions to hard trials. It's like, when my mom found out that my sister was pregnant, I wasn't there when she found out, but I saw the way my mom reacted in the days, weeks, months that, and I just was like, wow, like my mom is so loving and understanding and full of just like,
compassion.
Grace and compassion. And I just feel like it really matters. Like how you react to your kids' trials really matters. Like the reaction is really what matters.
Wow. I love that. That's a great thing to see.
Yeah.
How do you think Grace's situation with getting pregnant helped her relate to her own birth mom in ways that her siblings couldn't?
Yeah, they talked about that. So when Joaquin and Maya and Grace finally meet, I think one of them, Grace says, you know, are you guys interested in meeting our birth mom? We're finding her. And Maya and Joaquin are like immediately like, no way. She didn't want us. She gave us away. Joaquin had a really, and I'm looking forward to talking about Joaquin's experience. Joaquin had a really like treacherous, like, experience through foster homes, in and out of foster homes. And, so I feel like they were immediately like, there's no way, but because Grace has this extra layer of, well, now I'm a birth mom. Now I can relate and understand. This isn't just a cut and dry situation. This is like very, very affecting. Every single day she thinks about Peach, and it's just like this Florence and the Machine song, and a falling star fell from your heart and landed in my eyes. And I just think about, you know, Grace, like her whole heart she had to have her whole heart like willing to place Peach, and then, you know, because she had that experience, now she understands that it was out of love that her birth mom placed her. So I thought that was very interesting, and just like how they, because she was a birth mom herself, now she could have compassion for her birth mom.
It's interesting. I feel like a lot of the adoptees I've talked to, when they have that closed adoption, when they ultimately reunite and meet their birth mom as parents themselves, it just changes. Or like when they become parents, they are more inclined to go and find their birth mom, and it changes that perception. Maybe it wasn't such a positive perception before, it shifts when parents.
I think that's such a huge thing to point out too, with two of my siblings, when each of them had, when one of my siblings had her first child she placed for adoption, and her second child, when she had her second child, she was ready to look for her and meet her birth mom. And that's when she was able to do that. And I think parenthood is a really big step for adoptees to decide. Cause I feel like, and it's interesting too, because I don't believe, and I hope I don't mess this up, I don't believe she attempted to try and find her birth mom until she had her second child. Her first child, she didn't raise, she placed her first child. And maybe her heart wasn't ready because that was so hard.
So heavy.
But her second, it was like right on the heels of one of my nieces being born that she chose. And same for my other sister. When my other sister had her first child is when she sought out the records and to open everything up. And so I think that's a really important step, is like, I think parenthood brings up a lot of things for adoptees, and wanting to seek out answers, because you are more mature. You do have a higher understanding when you are a parent yourself.
So interesting. Yeah. And then Joaquin's story was really interesting because he was in the foster care system throughout his childhood. How did his experience impact your perceptions of children in care or these relationships?
I think that, like, you know, first of all, it breaks your heart because I believe he was placed for adoption. I believe his birth mom, her name is, what is it? Melissa Taylor. His birth mom, I believe, kept him for, wasn't Joaquin with her when she was pregnant with Grace? I believe there's like a picture of him on her hip.
She parented for a while.
For like about a year. And then I think something, the mom, I think she struggled. You find out later that she was struggling with some really like bad relationships and just like not being able to take care of herself and jumping from job to job. So, so Joaquin was this like beautiful baby boy for, I think, a year or more with his birth mom. And then he was placed into foster care. And then you also find out early in the book that Grace's parents were approached. Hey, the baby actually has a big brother. Do you want to also adopt him?
Oh,
and they weren't able.
I read that,
they said that they didn't feel like they could.
Yeah. So hard.
You know, because it was their first time being a parent and they felt maybe like, okay, well, we're ready for a baby, but we don't know. So I don't blame Grace's parents for not adopting him, but the more you read about Joaquin's story, you're like, they should have adopted him. Like, it's like, you know, you never, they didn't know what was going on and what would happen to Joaquin. But yeah, he just bounced from home to home, and because, and they do bring this up intentionally in the book, and like the characters talk about it. Joaquin's like, I'm brown. Like, you know, he says, I am brown. And like, boys and like boys of color don't get adopted as readily. I mean, and it's like exponentially less than kids
so heartbreaking,
like brown, as he says, you know. So and I guess that's one of the things the author talked about and something that I listened to, because I just like love, after I read a book, to just dive in and be like, okay, tell me all about this process. She said that like she literally typed in adoption into Google, and the first thing that came up was like an NPR article or story about the like shocking contrast of like how many, I think it was like Latin American or young boys of color that don't get adopted because of their color, and like how exponentially more expensive it is for kids that are white to be like adopted. She just thought, I have to put this in the book because these numbers are so shocking that she wanted people to understand there is a problem here, you know? And so Joaquin, I think she really wanted Joaquin's experience to reflect that like disparity that a lot of kids face as they're growing up and trying to find a home and raise in and out of foster care. So,
it was so sweet. It was heartbreaking because such a sweet kid. And he just had a lot of really hard stuff happen throughout his life. He was adopted and then placed back into care.
Right.
And
because of an anger management issue.
Yeah.
But because it was bringing up, the family that he was adopted into the first time, the Buchanans, I think it was after their baby was born that he said, I didn't know why. And then we found out later why he knows why, but it brought up a lot of like anger, and he loved the baby.
There was like buried trauma.
But there's buried trauma that was popping up, and he didn't understand it because he was like, what? Was he like 12 or
he was like little, maybe. I thought he was like 9 or 10.
Okay.
He was young.
He was young. And he couldn't, he's like, I didn't understand the time, but it was after the baby was born, I got really angry and like really sad and really mad. And, you know, he knows now it's because it was like his experience as a baby and like looking at that baby and understanding like, how could someone give away a baby? How could someone abandon a baby? Oh, because his birth mom was supposed to meet him for a visitation and she never showed up. And like, I think he remembered waiting for her when he was like a toddler, and she never showed up. Yeah. And he was wearing his favorite shirt. Like, was that a Spider-Man shirt?
That's right. Yeah.
He was wearing his favorite shirt because he knew he was going to see his birth mom. You know, it was his mom because he wasn't adopted yet. And she just didn't show up. And so I think that just when that baby was born in his new family, I think it triggered him really bad. And he started having behavioral problems. And then his dad was trying to like, Joaquin was like throwing things, like just, And so his dad came in and tried to like hold him down to stop, but Joaquin grabbed a stapler and threw it across the room and it hit the baby.
Yeah.
It hit the baby in the head and the baby passed out. The baby was fine.
Awful, yeah.
But Joaquin never forgave himself.
He felt so deeply guilty.
And he was taken away. Like that family, like, I don't know the term for this, unadopted him.
Yeah. They placed him back into care,
yeah.
or they relinquished him back into care.
Yeah.
Which happens more than it should. We've had a few adoptees on our show.
Yeah. My sister was too.
Teenagers. So sad.
So I was so young, I don't remember my life without her, but one of my sisters, she was 12 when she was what would you say? Relinquished? Is that what they say? Like, and,
She had been adopted before.
Yeah.
She was
as a newborn for like day old baby. And then when she was 12. Yeah. So that I can't even imagine. I can't get into that like mentally. I have so much like compassion for where she's been, and I have no clue how that would, I could even handle that. So reading Joaquin's story really, again, put me in one of my sister's shoes, and I was like, wow, gosh, this really is an experience that people have. And like the soul crushing, just like the heartbreaking, this pain that you would have to process from having your family.
Yeah.
Like give you.
Well, and he really struggled with his self-worth throughout the book.
Yeah.
And I feel like he began to get better at accepting himself and seeing his value, but it was a struggle. Like he didn't believe his sisters would really want a relationship or like keep coming back.
Yes. Like after he met them, he's like, this is kind of like, he kind of had his hands like out at a distance.
Yeah, he was
like
being
his heart,
careful.
Yeah,
he was guarding himself.
Which makes so much sense.
Absolutely.
Because I love how the author, like, the story unfolds. You don't get all the information at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But the author really helped you, like, peel back why each character was the way they were. And like I said, by the end of the book, I didn't mind Maya.
Yeah,
She just has a hard personality.
Better,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's it. She just had a really, like, funny personality, where I'm just like, oh, Maya, stop being so prickly about everything.
Well, she was at the age where
she's so prickly. Yes, exactly.
Obnoxious.
She's just a little prickly about
everything.
And it's just, I don't think it had anything to do with her adoption. I think her personality was just prickly. Her tendency. So, anyway, so yeah. Joaquin. But I just like, it's pretty amazing to see Joaquin's foster parents, Mark and Linda, how they were relentless about wanting to show him they
loved
him and wanted him to be part of their family. And it's really neat to see him go through like learning to accept that he is of worth and love and loved. And then like they ask him, like, would you like us to, we would like to adopt you. Will you be our child? And like, he has to work. He works through that.
It takes time. Yeah.
And it really does. And I think it was really good the way that she portrayed him having to struggle through that, because he's like, this can't be real. Like, what, is he 17? He's 17.
Yeah.
So he's like almost an adult, but these parents are relentless in their pursuit of just like, we love you and like, we're going to be so patient with you. And they had, I thought it was pretty cool. They like had a therapist that they worked with and that they asked Joaquin if he wanted to go to. And I thought it was great that he went. I mean, it shows a lot about Joaquin's like inner character that he just like, I think at the beginning he was like, oh, like, I don't want to meet with a therapist, but I actually really like her, so I'm going to keep talking and keep going. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Joaquin's growth was incredible.
It really was.
Yeah. I think his character had the most growth.
Yes.
Like for us as readers to like see in the book, as far as like the way that the author wrote it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So Maya was the only sibling who had a sibling growing up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Lauren was her sister.
Right. The redhead child.
Yes.
Yeah. And like they talked about how she would walk up her stairs. Maya would walk up the stairs and all the family photos were out, and it was these three redheads and her. Like, I'm just like, she's like surrounded by.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I loved how they portrayed her little sister, Lauren. I love that like Lauren was like, I'm your family. Quit trying to like find new family. I mean, obviously everyone wants, like not everyone, but like it's, of course she wants to find her birth family, or she's curious about her new siblings. So, but I like how Lauren was like, just adamant, like, you can't sever this bond we have just because you don't have red hair, just because, you know, Lauren doesn't have any different. And that's how I feel. Like when my sister was adopted into my family, I don't remember life before her. So I'm sure she has a different experience, but like, she's my sister through and through. And I'm like, no matter what, you're my sister. So I just think it's, I loved Lauren's like tenacity and just like holding on for dear life to this relationship with her big sister, Maya. And Maya can be so prickly, but Lauren's like, I'm not going to ever let go of you. You're mine. Like, don't let go of me. Like, you know, Lauren was scared that Maya would abandon her.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really interesting, I feel like a lot of like, adoptees, they have a fear of like, oh, if I find my birth family, then my family is going to feel abandoned. And I, you know, that's something that obviously to work through, but it's interesting how Lauren was really scared that her sister was going to kind of like forget about her,
yeah, or like not need her anymore.
Yeah. Their relationship would weaken because she found, but I love, and this is what I say all the time, because my mom raised me this way, like adoption just means more people to love, at least in my home. And that's how I felt. I know it's not everyone's experience, but my mom just reiterated that all the time. Whenever I'd go see my birth family, starting at age 12, I'd go by myself. I get on an airplane, go to Seattle and hang out with my grandma and my birth mom and cousins and aunts. And every time I get back, my mom's like, you know, we would talk and she's like, isn't that just wonderful? She's like, how many people love you and how many people you get to love? And like, I guess that's how it was framed to me my whole life. So that's how I feel. And so I think Lauren, like sweet Lauren, Maya's sister, she was terrified.
Yeah.
That it wasn't going to be more people to love. I think Lauren was terrified that Maya was going to find, quote, her people and like ditch Lauren. And Lauren was going through this awful thing of her parents getting
yeah.
in that, like getting into a, going into a, through a divorce and watching her, you know, Lauren and Maya's mom struggling with alcoholism and the dad leaving and like this really shaky time for Lauren. And Maya kind of, it's almost like she gives us like, this like lifeboat thrown at her of this like new family, quote, new family she can cling on to. And Lauren's like, wait, but I don't have a new family. Mine's falling apart. Like, so I thought that was really great. I'm so like impressed that the author put that in there.
Yeah.
I feel like it was such a great way. Cause it's like, you have to look at everyone's experience with adoption, not just the adoptee or, you know, not just the, you know, and yeah, I like
yeah.
that. It was very multifaceted.
I loved it. Yeah. I felt like she did such a good job of showing that these sibling relationships were organic with both,
mm-hmm.
right? Like
yes.
organic biological sibling relationships where they had never met each other
yeah.
and they came together so naturally and quickly.
Yeah.
And then adoptive siblings too. It's
yeah.
They're both. So
it's
important.
All they know. Like, I mean, that, yeah, my siblings, they're all I know, like blood related or not, like that's they're my people, you
yeah.
know. So I thought that was pretty great that she talked about Lauren's response to yes to Maya finding her birth family
yeah.
for sure. Yeah, oh my gosh, just so much. I mean, so many things.
She packed a lot into this book. She really did.
She really did, yeah.
And it was such an easy quick read. Like
yeah,
I couldn't
like
put it down.
I couldn't either. I love it that each chapter was different perspectives,
mm-hmm.
and then you got kind of a little break every because
yeah.
you know, Maya. She, I'm like, can we just Maya stop it? Like, she's driving me crazy, but like I said, by the end, I was like, she's great,
yes.
Yeah,
so Grace, Maya, and Joaquin all struggled with some different times where they felt like they didn't belong
mm-hmm.
with their families. So, do you feel like those feelings that these siblings had were different, similar, and what? The root was kind of getting to them.
Mm-hmm. No, okay. I think, but here's the thing. I think everyone feels like they don't belong in their family. I think
yeah.
everyone, like you ask any like teenager who's having a bad day, they're like, no one understands me. No one, like, so I thought it was like a really good view into just teenagers. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But like, you know, there were these like little visual cues and these little like, you know, like these cues that they experienced that made them feel like they didn't belong. Like, you know, Maya's experience of not having red hair. I mean, that's just like an appearance thing, but it was like a big deal to her that
mm-hmm.
she felt like she stuck out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
But you know, I feel like, you know, that was something that made me feel like she didn't belong. Her own sense of humor, she would say, like, people just don't get me, like, my sarcasm, like, she was so dry and so sarcastic, and I'm like, oh, but yeah, like, Grace, I felt like, because she was an only child, she didn't have someone to like bounce ideas off of. She just openly had her little like her experience of, like just being the center of her parents' attention. And then like, yeah, so that was an interesting, I don't know. Do you remember how she felt like maybe she didn't belong? Or do you think it was because she said her parents, Grace's parents, you know, they would say, whenever you want to ask about your adoption, you're welcome to ask us. But I think it's interesting that the author put that in there. And I think it's important. Maybe that's too big of a weight to put on a kid. Like maybe it's important to like, be like, hey, I wanted to talk about, you know, your birth mom, like sometime, would you want to talk about that tomorrow or later today? Or like maybe giving your kids a heads up instead of like it being all on the kid to talk about. So Grace talks about later with her parents in the book, why did I have to ask you? Like, I'm just a, I was just a child my whole life. I was curious about how do I open that box? Like,
well, and she also said at one point that she felt like her mother didn't really want her to ask these questions, right?
Yeah, like she felt heavy. Like it was just like a token thing to say.
Yeah, and like her grandmother, her mom's mom had passed away around the same time.
Yeah.
And she just felt like it was too much for the mother to talk about.
Yeah.
Like,
remind me, did so Grace's mom or Grace's grandmother passed away right before her adoption or right after?
I think it was after.
Okay.
I think it was about when.
Oh, she was sick. That's what it was.
Yeah, she was sick when she was born.
Okay.
And then I think she passed away because they knew about Maya being born.
Oh, right. It was, they couldn't adopt her. Yeah, because they didn't just get offered to adopt Joaquin. They also got offered later after Maya was born to adopt Maya.
Yeah.
And that just makes you think, wow, like you could like spin this into a whole sliding door situation where you're like, okay, what would have been like if they were raised together? Or what would have been like? So yeah, I feel like I liked how that was brought up, how it's so wonderful when parents say, we're always willing to talk about your adoption, but I think it's really important for parents to be like, hey, I just was thinking about your birth mom the other day. Isn't it so neat that this and that, like, I don't know. I think it's important for parents to also, to say, hey, anytime you talk about it as an invitation, but also to everyone. So I'll just bring it up. I was thinking about your grandma. Cause like I said, I grew up going and visiting my birth mom and my grandma starting at 12. And before I was 12, my parents, we would go on trips. And if we were in like the area, we would, my parents and I and siblings, we would swing by my birth mom's house or more like my grandma's house, my birth mom's mom. So I built that relationship first with my family, like next to me, but as a 12-year-old, you know, so I have this great relationship with my grandma, my birth mom's mom, my grandma Fran, and just have so many wonderful memories. So, you know, it's even a parent just being like, oh, like, I just love this quilt Grandma Fran made. You know, she's so talented. Just like bringing up really neat things about the birth family that your kids can hear. But if you don't know the story, that's different. But like,
but
just ways to bring it up.
Can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing that popped into my head while you were talking about that, in the book Orphan Train Rider, it's a short little nonfiction book. I think it's aimed at middle grade readers, but it's fantastic. I've talked about it on the podcast too much, probably.
Oh,
but it's a really good little read.
Yeah.
So it's a great historical perspective, but lots of little narratives from different people. There was one girl who said that her adoptive mom talked about her birth mom all the time and was always so sweet and loving.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know anything about her, but she would say things like, I know that she must be a lovely woman. I wish we could know her because you're such a good girl. And I bet you're just like her. You know, like there's ways that you can work in compassionate and loving discussions, even if you don't know.
It's so true. And that actually reminds me of like my dad. So this book really hit so many personal points for me because my parents got divorced when I was 9. And so like, you could say like, oh, I wonder if my birth mom was like, oh, well, I guess I didn't choose the right family, but like divorce doesn't mean like I can't be like have a great experience because I had a wonderful experience even after my parents divorced, and like life's just it's just life, you know. And so I just, my dad though, he would say to me every once in a while, gosh, like, because I would ask him, I'm like, do you think I'll ever find my birth dad? This is way before DNA like was a thing that anyone thought could be used for adoption. Everyone just thought DNA was for crime scenes, right? So I just remember like my dad every once in a while he would say, yeah, someday you're gonna find him, like. And he would just talk about him. Oh, he's got to just be so great. Like, same thing. Like, you know, and just like, yeah, even just saying those things like, wow, like what an amazing guy he must have been for, like, I don't know. Just, it's sweet when parents make a little effort. And I think I talked about in a podcast with you that I did, what was it, last year? how my parents, there was like the Santa Lucia Christmas like festival, and they're like, Devony, do you want to do this? They need extra like helpers for the Santa Lucia. I was 3 or 4, and I remember I knew that I had Swedish ancestry from my birth parents. It was on my adoption record. And they're like, your birth family is Swedish, and this is a Swedish tradition. Do you want to do this? And I like, oh, that is so special. It made me feel like the whole event was about me. Like, when you're 3 or 4, yes. You're like, they're doing this for me. And so I just think it's very sweet that, when you can give a nod to a birth
parent.
You can
honor, these parts of our children.
And also when a birth parent can give a nod to a parent and, just be like, gosh, I think you're like, my grandma would do that all the time. Gosh, your parents are just so wonderful for letting you come here and spending money to fly you out here. They just put me on a plane and see you later. My birth mom or grandma would pick me up.
I wonder how I'd feel about that
90s.
Now. Yeah,
the 90s.
Back when you could walk to the gate.
It's wild.
It's so different.
Yeah.
But no, I love that they did that.
Yeah, I think it's pretty great.
And I love that that conversation was compassionate all around the table.
Yeah, and I know that's not always the case, but I think it's great that the author like really showed so many sides.
Yeah.
So many sides of that.
Yeah. So eventually, Grace, Maya, and Joaquin decide that they want to go find and visit their birth mom.
Yeah.
How did that pan out compared to how you were expecting? Like,
yeah, I know, right? Like, man, that was tricky. I was, so they go and find, they have an address because is it Maya that finds a letter?
Uh-huh.
Every adopted kid like is always looking for evidence of letters, aren't they? I mean, I remember being a kid and like looking through stuff and like, oh my gosh, this is my birth certificate. And like, by the way, my name is spelled wrong on my birth certificate. My parents had to get a new one because they wrote it down wrong, or someone wrote it down wrong. But anyways, besides that, so Maya finds a letter, and she knows her birth mom's address. She knows where the letter came from for some reason. Yeah, it was just like on the letter. And so that's their clue. And when Maya finally understands, obviously this is a major theme. Grace does not tell her siblings that she placed a baby for adoption.
Yeah, she's
Grace,
so ashamed.
She
doesn't want to tell them.
She was ashamed of it. And she was being like bullied severely at school about it. And
she'd heard how they were talking about their birth mom. And she was like, yeah, they're going to judge me.
Exactly. She did not want, because they had already said those things about their birth mom and how they felt about it, she was terrified to say something because she wanted a relationship with them. And she was scared, I think, that they would push away from her. Like, how could you do that? You know? So when they finally all get on board, so Grace finally tells her siblings, because Maya, Maya's like personality, like, she steals Grace's phone and finds like something on Grace's phone, a picture of the baby, I believe.
Yeah.
And she's like, who is this? Anyway, Maya. Anyway, no boundaries, Maya. So finally, Grace is like, she wasn't ready. But she does share with her siblings that she just had a baby and she placed the baby for adoption. And I feel like they were so supportive of her, like immediately, which I thought was so great. And then because of that, they're like, okay, yeah, like we love you and we see how like this has affected you. Okay, we're gonna have compassion for our birth mom. And now we're curious because.
And that changed it. Yeah, I loved how that changed it.
Yeah, she's not just this like woman that quote gave us away. They look at their sister and say, she is a full faceted woman. And she probably had all these feelings and all these experiences. So, so they finally all get on board together. Okay. Yes. Let's do this together. And one of them says it's all or none. Like we're all together or not at all doing this.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really great. And so they have this clue from this old letter that was like stashed away in some records, like files of Maya's parents. And, you know, Joaquin gets a car from his foster family who wants to adopt him. He tells them, no, like, I don't want to be adopted. And then they keep exploring that, but they still like extend so much love to him. Like, no, we're not.
And it's not conditional.
Yeah. It's not conditional at all. They loved his parents, his foster parents. And so with this new car, these teenagers, I mean, think of all like the red tape they like just like fly through. You know, these teenagers go searching for their birth mom and with this address, they show up at the door And a woman opens the door and she looks, you can tell they're related. They look like the same features. And when she realizes who these three kids are, she just is so like overcome with emotion. And she tells them the story. And this was hard.
It wasn't the birth mom.
It was their birth mom's sister. So it was their aunt. And the birth mom had passed away. And I just feel like that is such... It can be such a true story. It was for one of, I have a lot of sisters, you guys. One of my sisters, she went looking for, she was finally ready to find her birth mom, and her birth mom had passed away literally 9 months before. And so that heartbreaking. Yeah. So this was a really good like experience to share that like, sometimes when you're ready, it's not quote too late. Cause you had to be ready. You know, to do that.
Yeah.
And that's what my sister has talked to me about. She's like, no, like I could not have done that before because I had to be ready for any outcome.
Yeah.
And so when she was finally ready, she was quote, like ready for her birth mom to perhaps even have already passed away or have a hard, like be going through some really hard things and not being able to have a relationship or, you know, so that was really moving that the siblings, you know, they had to deal with, okay, our birth mom's not here anymore, but the aunt shared all these beautiful stories and experiences with them and gave them their story. And sometimes a story is like a huge piece of the puzzle that makes such a big difference. Not sometimes, it is a huge piece of the puzzle for a lot of adoptees that it just knowing the story brings so much clarity and so much compassion, understanding, and, you know, and like it can help their self-worth. You know, so I feel like that was so important that, you know, that their new aunt that they discovered shared the story as much as she possibly could remember. And it was really neat to hear that as a reader, like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, that explains this and that explains that. And like the most touching thing ever was, you know, that Joaquin was so deeply loved, like,
yes.
He had felt discarded his whole life, and to find out the real story and how she desperately clung onto Joaquin and didn't want to place him and just was trying so hard to do everything she could to still remain his parent.
Mm-hmm.
And that just like her trials overcame her. But the sweetest gift ever was, you know, it's interesting. Maya grew up with all these pictures of herself as like a baby and like annoyed that she wasn't redheaded or whatever. And Joaquin, we learned earlier in the book that Joaquin was really triggered at a girlfriend's house because he saw all her baby pictures, and he actually broke up with her the next day because he couldn't handle that. He felt like he wasn't good enough for his girlfriend because he didn't have a quote past. He didn't have like a story like she
pictures,
did.
Yeah.
Didn't have any baby pictures. So the part of the book that like legitimately made me cry was when the three siblings, after the aunt gives the three siblings a key to a safe deposit box and said, Joaquin, this is for you. Like you're like my sister, your birth mom left this for you. It's yours. And they go to the safety deposit box and they open it. And it's like a bunch of baby pictures of him with his birth mom.
Yeah.
And you could just see how much she loved him. And like, it, I think it like really helped him to like see and then to know because of what he saw, how much his birth mom loved him and how much she tried.
Yeah.
You know, that was a really nice, like, wrap up
conclusion.
But like those baby pictures actually got me thinking about like, gosh, I hope every foster kid like gets to have like photographs. Cause they're, I mean, and it's probably not very common for them to have photographs.
It's
and
such a hard system. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's almost like, I was like, wow. Like, I feel like every social worker should like have a file of like, you know, pictures of the kid, like that they can like save for them. So they, as an adult want their pictures of their youth. I don't know.
Absolutely.
Obviously not. It's just like me like spitting an idea out, but I just thought that was like really like, hey, that's needed. Like,
yeah,
people need pictures of themselves growing up to like, I don't know. That was just an idea I had, but I loved how Joaquin got his, and then Joaquin like chooses to be adopted after he resolves the things that are like heavy on his heart, and
he's ready.
When he's ready. Yeah. After he had a huge fight with his foster parents. Well, he was fighting. They were just like extending love, but he was like, I can't handle this. This is too much.
No, I loved this book. I felt like it addressed so much. I was so impressed with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what part of the book did you most relate to? We're going to have to start wrapping up. I'm really sad.
I know, right?
Keep going, but I do want to hear what your favorite parts were, what you related to most.
Oh my gosh. I related to so many things just from observing my siblings and my own adoption story. I'm having like a really hard time. You know what? Actually, this is really interesting. I don't know if it's relating, but this is going to sound bizarre, you guys. I felt so normal growing up. I thought everyone had a birth mom. Like, I just, you know what I mean? Like, it was so normal for me. I never felt out of place. And I think it's because I had an open adoption from the beginning, and not just an open adoption, but like a really healthy experience with my birth mom and my grandparents and my aunts and uncles and like my half siblings, my cousins. Like, I just felt like, oh yeah, like my birth mom, she's just like, she just knew, like, quote, she just knew this was the best thing for me. And like, I found my family, and she, you know, it was like this, it was always recounted to me, like, the day I was born, my parents got to be there. My birth mom wanted my parents to hold me first. Like, I just, in my head, it always made me think of, like, this is like, my birth mom just knew, and everything was great. Everything was fine. But like, I did not, I'm embarrassed. I'm actually mortified, I guess, that I never thought, I didn't really think of, I've never thought of her pain for placing me, because all the things I've heard and seen and talked with my people about with my adoption story, my birth mom included, it was like never this like gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching experience. But when I look at Grace's experience and what she went through, and thinking of her baby, and like worrying about, did she do the right thing? Did she place, you know, I guess it actually really just made me want to have a conversation with my birth mom and be like, hey, like, FYI, you did an incredible job making me feel incredibly secure. Like, she never put this weight on me of, this is the hardest thing I ever did. And it was like, I was like, you know, she never said anything like that. But like, I always felt loved by her whenever I'd see her, and like, we'd always have like a lovely time. But she always did tell me that she knew that my parents were my parents. She's like, I just knew it. Like, and she was in a relationship, like, she got into a relationship like kind of right before I was placed for adoption. And he's like, I want to adopt the baby. Like, I would be more than happy to be that baby's father. And she's like, I just knew that you were supposed to be with your parents and your siblings, your sisters. And so I guess I never really thought about like the pain. I know my grandma was it was incredibly difficult for my grandma, because she had told me her experience, but like appropriately, never making me feel bad. But this book just, it made me want to know more about how my birth mom felt at that time. And I got to see a little glimpse of it when I was, you know, when I look back at this video, my birth mom came to my hometown for an interview when I was 9 months old. This news station in Seattle, I told you about this. They flew my birth mom out to see me, and they filmed the whole like reunion, like video of like, you know, anyway, it's just, so I don't know, I guess it'd be interesting to talk about with her experience. And how did you feel? Like, did you have like any like post-traumatic feelings? Like, did things bubble up for you? Anyway. So I think I don't know if it was like, I related to so many things from my own experience and from observing my loved ones, my siblings' experiences. But I would say this book made me want to talk to my birth mom about her experience more.
I love that.
So I think that's probably my big takeaway.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Thanks.
All right. So overall, you recommend this book?
I definitely recommend this book. And interestingly enough, I didn't realize it was a YA book. It's considered a YA book, and it won some like national award.
I'm not surprised.
It won an award. I would say like it might be like a little bit heavy for like, I think like an older teen is great.
Yeah.
A younger teen, I would like, I'd say wait.
Yeah.
But I realized later that this was meant to be a YA novel. I'm like, wow, this is actually very engaging and very interesting. And like, I will not forget these stories.
Yeah.
I read so many books and I can easily forget them, but like, I won't forget this one. She did such an incredible job of making me like very interested in these characters and their outcomes. And so I would highly recommend it. Awesome. I loved it. So
well, I would too.
Well, and thanks for inviting me to read with you.
Thank you so much. Really, it was so fun.
Yeah, loved it.
Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, we want to give a big thanks to Devaney for meeting with Lynette and having this discussion about Far From the Tree. So grateful for her and for her insights. As it is National Adoption Month or Adoptee Awareness Month, we just want to turn the attention to where it should be, the voice of the adoptee. So thank you so much, Devaney, for sharing. We look forward to sharing a few more episodes coming up. Next week, we have an adoptee named Sherilyn, who also was previously on the podcast, one of the first adoptees that we interviewed. She and Lynette will have a discussion about the book Orphan Train. So put that on your list, your listening list, or go check it out at the library and read that. Also, just want to let you know that the adoption guide for parents that Lynette has written, we've actually added 5 new chapters and about 40 new pages of content to that. And if you're interested in purchasing that, you can currently buy it for $9.99, and that's available at openadoptionproject.org. And again, this is a resource that she has created for the adoption community, particularly those who are hoping to adopt, who have recently adopted, that helps us focus on the adoptee and create an open adoption experience that will set them up for a lot of success. So go check that out. All the proceeds go straight back into the podcast so that we can keep producing. So thank you so much for being a listener. We're grateful for you and hope that you can continue to be a force for good in educating the world about adoption. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Open Adoption Project.